Turn over to Revelation 19. I want to read some to you if you'll listen. Have you believe in listening? The Bible said faith cometh by hearing. That means listening. And it's good to listen because you listen, you'll learn. I don't know just what God would bring to our hearts and minds tonight. I've had Him talking with me today. As a matter of fact, I've enjoyed the Spirit of God and His presence quite a bit today. God had come into my room and talked with me. And then when I was talking to Brother Richard and him, I felt the surge of God's power and Spirit rejuvenate my body in such a dynamic way. I had a vision the other night. And in the vision, God had endowed me with a supernatural power to where everything I spoke to, I could turn it into something brand new. Remember going into a room and just speaking to the beds, and the beds became brand new. The mattresses become spanking brand new, and the pillows, and just beautiful. They were so new. Then I had the power that if I was in a wreck, all I had to do was just think, and the wreck would be as though it never was. Nobody would be hurt. If I got into a problem, I had the power to just think my car would take wings and just fly over the rough places. And I found myself in such wonderful places all around. In the vision, I was endowed with the power to have anything I wanted to at any time I desired. And of course, that's what I believe. I believe that all things are ours, and I believe that I can have anything I want to at any time I desire. That's what I believe. Jesus said, I once was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore, and all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. You might not believe that you've got all power in heaven and earth, but I do. And if I had a little bank and all your money was in it, and that was all of your money, and you'd given me the bank, then I'd have all your money. I know the little bank would have all your money, but I'd have the bank. And if Jesus has all power in heaven and earth, and I got Jesus, I got all of it. So, Jesus is the bank of heaven, and I own the bank. If you need a helping hand, you can come around, we'll give you a helping hand. Heavenly treasure in earthen vessels. Revelation 19. We'll read just a little bit and talk with you tonight and see if the Lord will give us some thoughts. And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments. For He hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand. And again they said, Hallelujah. And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse, and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Now, I'd like to comment just a little bit on this if I could. A lot of people seem to feel that I'm different in so many things that I say concerning the scriptures, that is, to what Brother Branham's outlook is. I'm really not different concerning it. I think the difference is in them understanding what we're saying. But nevertheless, I do say things that doesn't sound like that they agree with what he said. But I think if I could explain some of them, if I could take time and explain them, that you would see that so many of them do agree, and that it is a misunderstanding with you in the way you understand. For instance, I've made the statement a number of times that I do not believe that when we are raptured, that is translated with Paul's change in Thessalonians, at the last trump in a moment in the twinkling of an eye, that at that time we go to the marriage supper. Brother Branham states that is the catching away to the marriage supper, as some of them have informed me. And they say they can't understand why that I say what I say. But Brother Branham speaks according to what God has made him to know, and I speak according to what God has made me to understand. Now, it is a misunderstanding on the people's part in a lot of cases. I do not believe that at the catching up that we go up into the marriage supper. I don't believe that. I believe that what happens is that we have a change in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, and then we are called away to be with God, and we go with the Lord that we might view the wonderful city of New Jerusalem, which is where we're going to live after the millennium. I believe that that is to be what is referred to as the mother's tent, where the veil came off of Rebekah and she became the wife of Isaac. I believe that at the catching up of the bride going into the mother's chamber, and that the Bible said that heavenly Jerusalem is the mother of us all, that in that the veil of the old body will be taken away, and we will become the celestial wife of the Lord. And that the marriage supper is Revelation 19, when we come back from the great visit with God, and when he returns to the earth, we return on white horses following him. And the Bible said that this is the marriage supper of the Lamb, and the invitation is sent out for the marriage supper. That is what I believe because that is what the Bible says. And I believe that in the returning in Revelation 19, that is what takes place. I say that there is a misinterpretation on some people's part because Brother Branham no doubt spoke of the catching up at the change to the marriage supper. And no doubt he was referring to Revelation 19 in that we're called away over to the marriage supper as an ultimate of what will happen at the coming of the millennium. So I believe there's a misinterpretation there. Another thing is when I say something about the serpent seed, a lot of people say that I disagree with Brother Branham. But that again is a misinterpretation on a lot of them's understanding because there's a lot of things that we say that are identically alike if people can interpret what we're saying. But a lot of times God lets the trumpet give an uncertain sound for those who are looking for fault that they might not prepare themselves to the battle. God knows what kind of spirit that people have, and God has a way of changing his mask and has the way of presenting himself at different times coming to the people that he might catch them in a snare, those who are unaware and not watching. The Bible said the thief in the night shall catch them. So then it is true that God does that to see just how true the heart really is. I made the statement concerning the going over of the serpent seed by the flood. I said to say that the woman was the one that took it over was absurd. And a lot of people say, well, Brother Branham said the woman took it over. But when I said the woman took it over, I was speaking of the natural woman. It is a true fact that I teach and believe that the woman did take the serpent seed over. That was the way that it got over on the other side. But it wasn't a natural woman which had been untrue to her husband. It was the same evil power in the flesh of the man who is referred to as the woman that went over the flood and took it over on the other side. It was not a natural child. It was a spiritual misdemeanor of the flesh, something inside of the human bodies. A lot of people would say, oh, Brother Pike, that couldn't possibly be because they were the sons of Noah. All right, if that's true, if it couldn't possibly be because they were the sons of Noah and they were righteous people and they were sons of God, tell me what happened to Noah's grandsons, which came from Noah's sons, on the other side, when one of them, Ham's son, one of them looked on the nakedness of his father, and from that came what we refer to as the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. What happened there? If it wasn't the evil powers of Satan that was lurking in the flesh that went over through the male factor, then what happened to them people over there? It wasn't the woman that did that, was it? It was a man that did it. Therefore, what we do, a lot of times we strain at a gnat and we swallow a camel. Jesus said, blind leaders of the blind, they all fall in the ditch. But it is a true fact that when we try to wrestle with something and take it out of its context, take it and put it into some special kind of a thing so that we can project ourselves or lift ourselves up or make ourselves different from others, then we get into trouble. But the best thing to do is take what the Word of God says. I followed the Word of God all my ministry and all of my life. I believe that it was God's way. I still believe it's God's way. And I've never found it to be wrong yet. I've always found it to prove out to be just exactly the way that God told me it would be. A lot of people miss God because they feel like that the anointing of God is something that you feel. Many times God has sent a preacher into the midst of the people. They've been so used to feeling something come down over them. I feel the Spirit of God present until they missed what God was saying. When the prophets of old went into the city and said, yea, thus saith the Lord, the people didn't rejoice. They were very sad. They were very grievous. They stoned Stephen to death. They didn't feel no anointing
Because that wasn't what God was doing. God had brought the word of judgment to them. And people go by their feelings and go by what they think and go by what they feel, and they're so sure that God isn't doing anything until they miss it, as we say, 100,000 miles. They that look on the outward appearance, they that follow feelings. But the man that remembers that faith cometh by the hearing of the word and pays attention to what he hears. Whereas the Bible said, it's not you that speak, but your heavenly Father that speaketh from within you. When you come to the place to where you hear, it has been said that at the time of the departure of Isaac, if he had listened to what he heard, instead of going by his feelings, he'd never been deceived. But when Jacob got in with that skin, he felt like Esau. And he said, your voice sounds like Jacob, but you feel like Esau. How many of you know that the Spirit of God is poured out upon all flesh? You may feel like an angel on the outside, but on the inside you're a devil. Said, you feel like my son Esau, but if he had went by what he heard, he said, your voice sounds like Jacob. If he'd went by that, he'd have known better. Faith coming by hearing and not by feeling. So then it pays us to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Isn't that right? I'm listening in on heaven. I'm listening to see what God will say to me. I want to know what the Spirit says. When the Bible said, watchmen, what of the night? I want to know what the Spirit is saying. And I'm listening to see what the Spirit will say unto me, because I know he'll speak to me. He spoke to me today. He talked with me today. Every day I hear him, I feel him, I see him, and I talk with him because he is with me. Wonderful things are taking place if we can see them. Here in Revelation 19, it's a beautiful picture. Revelation 19, what is it? I want to elaborate just a little bit here because I've been asked so many questions on this. Revelation 19, what is it? It is the Lord returning. Now don't forget, in the seals, the first seal is that there is a rider that is on a white horse. Of course, we differ a little bit in what I express on that and some of the others. But that's what I believe about it. It's on tape. But here's a rider on a white horse. The rider has a crown, which is obviously a move of God in the sense that God has his way in the good and the evil. But now here in Revelation 19, here's another rider. This rider is also on a white horse. A lot of people, you know, they think it's wrong to ride horses. But here is a rider on a white horse. And the rider on the white horse has not one crown, but the Bible said he had many crowns. Somebody would say, where did he get all the crowns? They crowned him for conquering death. They crowned him for conquering fear. They crowned him for so many multiplied things that he did. Until he's not just a king, but he's King of Kings. A king with many crowns. And he returns with great glory and great power, because he has many crowns. This Jesus, the same Jesus whom the Jews rejected. They rejected him because he came in a manger. But when he returns here in Revelation 19 as the great and mighty King of Kings, as the Messiah, they will not reject him, but they'll receive him, because that's the kind of king that they're looking for. Christ came as a babe in a manger, humbled himself to make sure his friend come as a peasant to see who would befriend him and who would love him. Isn't that wonderful? To think that when Elizabeth and Mary came together and the salutation of one mother to another, the Bible said that the babe leaped within the womb, and the woman said, my soul doth magnify God. I thought, Lord, I'm tearing the Christ child within my heart. In the wound of my heart, my soul doth magnify God, because I'm God's virgin. carrying the Christ child within my heart. You say, how could that be, Brother Pike? Because he said at the midnight cry there were some virgins. There were some virgins. So then, we ought to be magnifying God. We ought to have something within us, Brother Jerry, that causes us to magnify God. Our soul magnifies God because when the Holy Spirit moves, you can feel the babe leap within the womb. Paul said, travailing till Christ be formed within you. So then here in Revelation 19, we see the return of the Messiah. Here he comes back on the white horse. And here, not only is he coming back, here he is with a vesture that's dipped in blood. As he returns, it is not only him, but the Bible said that the armies of heaven followed him. Now this is why I believe what I believe. This is called the first resurrection right here. Now, the Bible said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. This is the first resurrection. Now, this would really give some people trouble when you talk about post-millennials and pre-millennials people. Here is the first resurrection, and yet this is after the tribulation period. After the tribulation period, we see the first resurrection. If that is true, then according to that, the church of God is altogether wrong. The assemblies of God are altogether wrong. The Pentecostal wholeness is wrong, and so many multiplied others. If it is as it appears here in Revelation 19, is that right? Because this is after the tribulation, and they say the first resurrection is before the tribulation. But the Bible doesn't give it that way, does it? Now, here is what I believe and what I understand about it. When Paul said, speaking of Thessalonians and the change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, he said, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, and then caught up to meet God in the air. Now, I believe that at the Thessalonian change that Paul spoke of, I believe that this is before the tribulation period. I believe that. Now, there's people that say that the church will go through the tribulation. Here's why that I believe what I believe. I don't believe it because somebody said it or what I've heard, but I believe it because the Bible teaches this. There's been a lot of dispute, a lot of argument on it. And people all over the nation, they fuss about this and dispute over it. That's why that I try so often, a lot of times, to teach you, to talk with you, to reason with you, because that's the way Jesus did. Jesus just took the people, he sat down and he reasoned with them, talked with them, and tried to share with them what he had in his heart. When you go to hear the President of the United States, what do you want? You don't want him just come and scream and holler at you. It's all right if he raises his voice, but you want him to soberly tell you what he's trying to talk about and make you to understand what he says. Every preacher get up and preach, and they just go like that. And you wouldn't know what they'd said when they got through. I've seen women that call themselves preachers, and they'd get up and they'd go so fast that you'd never know what they said. God doesn't do that. That's not the way the Holy Spirit works. God wants to indoctrinate you with something and tell you something in such a way that you can understand what he's saying. The Bible said he opened their understanding. God, the Holy Spirit, when he comes down, you can always tell him. It's not a shout, a run, a jump, and a holler. It's opening. It is the opening of the understanding. It will always open the understanding because that's what it is. All right, now, the Bible said, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us by the way? When he opened our understanding. If he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, when he drops down our midst, our hearts will burn because it will open our understanding. I believe that there will be a change, an instantaneous change before the tribulation period. You might say, well, Brother Pike, how do you account for the fact that this is the first resurrection Revelation 19, if this is after the tribulation period, and it's evident that Revelation 19 is after the tribulation period. Because it says here that the Antichrist is taken, the false prophet is taken, and they are cast into the lake of fire. And they are not taken until after they finish the tribulation period. So Revelation 19, it's obvious that this is the return of the Lord coming back. Where was this figure caught up? Are you listening? Where was the figure on the white horse that we see here? Where was he first caught up? He was first caught up at Calvary. This is why that I say that the first resurrection was at Calvary. That was the first resurrection. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, you're taken away from the scriptures. The Bible said that after the tribulation period, it was the first resurrection. No, that's not what it's saying. The Bible is recording in Revelation 19. It is recording the first resurrection. Why? Because the Bible said that Jesus was the first fruits of them that slept. That was the first resurrection. But inasmuch as he went away, and they never did see him anymore, until Revelation 19, then he who is the resurrection, the first resurrection, isn't accounted for until Revelation 19. You don't see him. So then, the first resurrection was at Calvary, when the saints got up out of the ground and walked around. That was the first resurrection. Then, this resurrection is accounted for at Revelation 19 because he who is the resurrection was not seen from that time he was called away until over Revelation 19, which is many hundreds of years later. Is that right? Approximately 2,000 years later. So then, at the coming of this in Revelation 19, God records it as the first resurrection. Now why? Because man looks on the outward appearance. And Jesus is outward appearance, which is the human body, had been taken away, and man could not see it. Therefore, God could not account for the first resurrection until the personage of Jesus returned. And as soon as he returns, in Revelation 19, it says the first resurrection. Is that right? But this is why I believe what I believe. Over before the tribulation period, I believe that Christ, who is the resurrection, lives inside of my heart. I believe it. Hallelujah. I don't see his personage except in you. I believe it's in my heart. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I am the life. I am the truth. I am the way, he said. So then he says to us, we have passed from death unto life. He has shortened the days for the elect's sake. Death is already conquered for me. Death is the last enemy to be conquered. The reason it says that is because death isn't conquered until after the millennium. After the millennium, the grave gives up its dead. Is that right? It is after the millennium that the graves give up the dead. Now, if the graves still have a hold on the dead all through the millennium, then that means that death is not conquered for the people. If it was conquered, then the graves would have already given up their dead. Now, are you listening? I want to say this. A lot of people think that the millennium is heaven. The millennium is the restoration of the earth. The restoring of all things. The millennium is not accounted for, my brothers and sisters. Heaven, the millennium is still the world. You follow me? God so loved the world that is in its present condition as it was in the garden, that at that time he purposed to give the life of his son to redeem it, from the state that it's in right now when he tells you not to love it. Is that right? While it's in its debauchery state. The restoration, which is the millennium. All right, now, in the restoration, in the millennium, what is it? That is another phase of the world. It is this very same earth that you're living on. The very same Georgia earth that you see here will be out there in the millennium. Come on, if you believe it, say amen. The same earth that's in Germany will be out there in the millennium. The same thing. Somebody said, well, God's going to renovate the whole thing. You can't show it to me in the Bible. I know Brother Dakes teaches that, and I got a lot of respect for him, but I never found it in the Bible. Now, what is it? It will be the very same earth that you're living on, but the difference in it is that all of the briars will be taken away. All of the sorrows will be taken away. You say, how can this be, Brother Pike? Because the thing that started the sorrows in the garden was Satan, the old dragon, or the serpent. Is that right? And here it said the dragon or the old serpent is bound for 1,000 years. That means you can't talk to anybody. If that man, that mind can't stay alive, then there won't be any trouble. If you listen a few minutes, I'll prove that to you. If that mind is silenced, there won't be any trouble, because all of the trouble comes from the mind of the serpent. Every bit of it. And all of the joy, peace, righteousness come from the mind of Jesus Christ. So then the battle is on. From within me, Christ is battling against the spirit of the serpent coming in from the outer man. One working through my human senses, my fleshly infatuations, and another working from within the kingdom of my soul and meeting in the middle grounds and battling to see who's going to get the body. For the body is the purchased possession. How many of you know that? That's called the church, the purchased possession. That's the woman part. That's the part that's supposed to be shamefaced, because the male part on the inside is in full strength. It's not in the transgression. All right, now, let the body keep silent in the presence of the male, which is the inner Christ. Is that right? Don't let it lean to its own understanding. Let it do what it's told to do. Have you noticed as of late that everything is going through a change? The woman, she used to be beautiful. You notice that? Beautiful. But if you notice that everything is changing and the male is becoming the spectacular thing now. Why? Because it's supposed to be that way. It got perverted in the garden. The male is supposed to be the spectacular part. You say, how can you prove that? Because do you think the church is fairer than Christ? Do you think the church is better looking than Jesus? Do you think the church is supposed to be more spectacular than the Christ that died for him? Why, the glory of the church can't touch his glory, all in the sense of being in him. Is that right? The woman has been beautiful in the sense that Jesus, remember now, when the Lord came to earth, he came in the fashion of a man. He humbled himself. He took on the scars, and the Bible said he had no beauty that any should desire him. Is that right? He did that the church might be more beautiful. So then the woman found the pattern. She had to be the spectacular thing down through the ages. But notice, the woman is becoming abomination in the sight of people. The Bible said 7 women take hold of one man. What is it? It's because of the degraded condition of that which was supposed to have been the church, as far as the type and shadow. You follow me? So then, the corruption is showing. The woman is changing over. Used to, women, they manicured their fingernails. They worked on their eyelashes. They'd done a little styling on their hair. They curled and they twisted and done everything. The male didn't do anything. It was just absolutely out of this world for a man to do any such as that. But I notice now, all you got to do if you want a curl, just go to the beauty shop. They got places where the male can get a curl. They style the hair. They polish your fingernails. They fix them up, and they're outshining the woman. Why? Because it typifies Jesus coming. Hallelujah. The Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. That which
shall outshine them all, as the song says. Jesus is taking on a chain. That man's going to quit running after the woman. The woman's going to start running after man. Oh, you say that ain't so. The Bible said seven of them will run after him. Why? Because the Lord's tired of running after the church. It's time the church run after the Lord. Now, the Bible said, I came to seek and to save. You go out and you pick up a woman. You go out to seek and to get her. You go looking for her. But once you got her, it's her job to seek your affection then. Is that right? You done the seeking to find her. God come to find the church, but it's the church's job to love him and to seek his affection after he's married. I like that, don't you? I guess it's because I'm a male. Hallelujah. Isn't it wonderful how convenient this thing works around? Praise God. I thank the Lord for his greatness and his power. You know, it really don't work around that convenient, because when you think about it, we're the woman and he's the male. It's not as convenient as it sounds, is it? But anyway, we see here then that there is a trouble, and the trouble is the mind of the serpent. How many of you follow me? All right, let's get back here just a little bit to Revelation 19. If the first resurrection, is accounted for in Revelation 19. The Bible said, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he. He's a holy person if he's got part in it. All right, let's see if Revelation 19 is the first time there's a resurrection. Look at the days of Lazarus. When Lazarus was in the grave, I brought it out the other day. Mary and Martha said, we know the brother will live again. Said, at the last day he'll live again. When? Revelation 19. Martha and Mary could have said, Lord, Revelation 19. Is that right? But it hadn't been written yet. See, this was recorded in 96 A.D., which was later on after the death of Jesus. So they couldn't say it, but they just said, the last day, Lord. This is the last thing, right after tribulation period. They said, we know that he'll come up in the resurrection. Why, Jesus could have said, what are you talking about? Come up in the resurrection. Who do you think I am? But he didn't do that. The Bible said, show your wisdom out of meekness of spirit. Jesus said, Martha and Mary, I am the resurrection. Don't you know who I am? He said, Thomas, have I been with you so long, or Philip, and you've not known who I am? I am the resurrection, he said. They said, where's the way? He said, I am the way. They said, we don't know how to get there. He said, all you got to do is just follow me. Follow me. All right, in Revelation 19, we look at it again. Why is it recorded as the first resurrection? Because this Jesus said, blessed and holy is the one that hath part in this. Blessed and holy. If the first resurrection is where Jesus got up out of the grave, then that is the first resurrection. If I have him in my heart, I have the first resurrection. If I pass from death unto life, then what is that? When you pass from death unto life, what has happened to you? You've been resurrected. How many of you know that's true? You are buried with him in baptism, numbered with him in his death, and brought out in the likeness of his resurrection. You pass from death unto life. My brother, this is the resurrection, the first resurrection. You're the one that's in the first resurrection. You are in the first resurrection. You've already passed from death unto life. That was the mystery, the secret that Paul was trying to tell you, that you don't have to die. You've already died. You don't have to die. God looked down from heaven, heard the groaning of the prisoners, loosed them that was appointed unto death. For it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. But when he heard the groaning of the prisoners, just sent Jesus down there in the prison and loosed them that was, who was it, appointed unto death? It was the people back under the law. How many of you know that's true? They died not being made perfect without us, because the promise of the Spirit of resurrection had not come, which was the Holy Ghost, Jesus being the promised seed of Abraham. They all died in the faith, hearing the word, but not having received the Spirit, which was the promise of life.
Because they said, this is the promise. Peter said, I got a revelation. I got a key. I found out what it is, Peter said. This is it. Hallelujah. The same Jesus went down to the heart of the earth because God heard the groaning of the prisoners. Can't you just imagine? Down here in the heart of the earth. Here it is. David of old, the great king, rolling, so to speak, groaning, waiting for that to be loosed. Is that right? The Bible said we groan within ourselves. Though we are in a holy place, though we are in the kingdom of God on the inside. Somebody would say, now, Brother Pike, Daniel and David was down there in paradise. You couldn't imagine them doing nothing like that. Well, I'm in paradise. My spirit's in the spirit of God. It's in the kingdom, and the kingdom within me. And yet Paul said we groan within ourselves, not that we should be unclothed, but rather clothed upon, that mortality may be swallowed up in immortality. So then Jesus went down into the heart of the earth. Is that right? Why? Because he heard the groaning of the prisoners. And he went down there and he opened the door. You say, how did he do that? Because he had the key. What was the prisoner? Death was a prison. Death was a prison. How do you know? Because the Bible said when he come up out of there, it had to do with the two keys that Brother Gary brought here one night. When he came up out of that, he said, I have the key to death. Is that right? I have the key to hell. Is that right? That's right. And the Bible said that when he got up out of the grave, that many of the saints got up and walked around. Is that right? I believe that. Daniel, David, Abraham, who were they? The patriarchs of old got up and walked around. Why? Because that was the resurrection. Death could no longer hold the people. Death could no longer hold you. There's no way that death can hold you. You say, but Brother Pike, it has got me because of your unbelief. The Bible said Enoch was translated by faith that he should not see death, and you've got faith. Somebody said, but I'm not in the days of Enoch. But if Enoch was before the law and there wasn't any law required, or that is, any righteousness required in that sense because there was no transgression of law, then the law is now fulfilled and you're back without a law and you're back under faith again. Enoch being a type of the church, I pass from death unto life. You say, Brother Pike, if you'd pass from death unto life, why you'd gone into heaven? I did. I said I did. I'm up here in heaven. I'm up here in heaven. I pass from death unto life. I am no longer in the world. I'm not of the world. I'm not in the world. For God has chosen me out of the world. I am hid with Christ in heaven. Where is heaven? Somebody said, well, I don't see heaven. That's called you blind. Jesus said you're blind, can't see afar off. Having eyes to see, you can't see. Is that right? You can't see heaven no more than you can hear his voice. Having ears to hear, you can't hear what the Spirit says in the church. What is heaven? Heaven is the Spirit. Heaven is the Spirit. Can you deny that? That heaven is the Spirit? Heaven is the Spirit. We have another body, eternal in the Spirit. In the heavens. There is no heaven except God's Spirit. Whatever is in God's Spirit is heaven. Wherever God's Spirit is, that's heaven. Heaven. So then, where are we? We are in heaven. Where do you get that? Because as soon as the man child was born, how have we been born again? He was caught up to the throne. Where is the throne? In heaven. Is that right? That means my inner man left this old earthly body. This old earthly body died. They buried it. And this inner man went into the kingdom of God within me. Is that right? Caught up into the kingdom of God. Why? Because the child that's born from this world is of this world. He lives in this world. But if I'm born to that world, then I say with Jesus, I'm not of this world. Jesus said, I'm from above. How do you know that you're from above? Because I'm a son of God. And sons of God are from above. Jesus was a son of God. Well, that makes me feel good, don't you?
Praise God. To believe that really does something to you. That's translating power. I might have to do that vision the other night by making all things new. Just speak to it and make it new. God said, I'll do a new thing. Make it brand new. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So then, it is a true fact that we pass from death unto life. Now, if that is true, then I am in the resurrection. Now, look at this just for a minute. Paul said, we say that there will be both a resurrection of the just and of the unjust. Is that right? He said that the wicked and the righteous both has to be resurrected. Now, is that right? I'll tell you, this is wonderful. Did you know that people that's gone by, that's done, passed away, dead and in the grave, did not have the opportunity you've got? Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, they have the same opportunity. They had faith and had the Word of God. I know that they did. I know that ever since Calvary. Now it's made known to the church the manifold wisdom of God from Calvary. I know that. But Paul said it's one out of season, not lawful for me to speak it. Even after Calvary, it still was out of season. But my brother, it's not out of season now. He said, behold, I show you a mystery. It's not out of season. My, what an opportunity that we've got. Hallelujah. Makes you feel good all over, better than anywhere else, don't it? So then, here we see that there is a resurrection. Now, this is what causes me to believe that there will be a change before the tribulation period. See, I see how that God can change the human body before the tribulation period and still not take away from Revelation 19 of the first resurrection. Because the first resurrection has been taking place ever since Calvary. It's just those that never did get a hold of it. You say, well, what is this in Revelation 19? This is those that died through the tribulation period that refused to take the mark of the beast. This is they that would not take the mark. Those that was killed out during the tribulation period. Now you say, why do you say that? Because according to the Bible, before the tribulation period, there is a change. I've already passed from death into life. God don't have to resurrect me. He don't have to resurrect me. Behold, I show you a mystery. I'm a mystery. I was dead, and yet I'm alive forevermore. Hallelujah. Praise God. Mystery, Paul said. So then, we look at it, and we see that we have passed from death unto life. Therefore, God doesn't have to resurrect us. What he does do, that at the last sounding of the trump, a lot of people believe that Brother Branham was that last trump. I said, well, what do you think the last trump is? Well, I'm just going to tell you what I understand. In the Old Testament, they had two trumpets. They made the trumpets out of the offering money. Two trumpets. One trump, as I've said in the past, was to assemble the people, to call the people. That was the first sounding. I believe that was Brother Branham's trumpet sounding. I believe it called them out of denominationalism. I believe it called them together as a group of people. It was a great trump, a great voice from heaven. And it called the people. The first trump was to assemble the people. But the next trump was to cause them to begin to move. That was the rapture part, was the moving part. Going on to Canaan. Ooh, that feels good. Hallelujah. Going on to Canaan. So then, I believe that the last trump is when the Bible said that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the voice and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. That's what I believe. At Revelation 19, we see him returning. But these people that are on the white horse, where did they come from? The Bible said they are the armies of heaven. I want you to see this. Look at Jude. Jude looking over here and catching a revelation. Now you say, how do you know he got a revelation? Because he spoke of Enoch. and how that Enoch testified of the coming of the Lord, and it's not recorded in the King James book. So he got a revelation. Jude, they waxed bold, and he said, I saw the Lord. Said Enoch said, I saw the Lord. Can you see this? I saw the Lord coming back with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon the wicked. What was that? That was Revelation 19, as sure as you live. Way back over in Enoch's day, he got the revelation of Jesus Christ and saw all the way to the end and saw Revelation 19 and the coming of the Lord, and it translated him and he went away. It took him 300 years to find it, but he kept on looking. I'll always believe that's why God shortened man's life. He knew he'd find it. The Bible said it won't be nothing hid from these people if we don't do something. Wasn't that what he said? He said you can't hide nothing from them. So he knew with 300 years Enoch found it. Now somebody said, well, I don't see that. Why come some of the rest of them didn't find it? You want me to tell you? Because they wasn't looking for it. Why is it that we found it today and some of the people ain't found it in our day? Some folks older than you are that ain't found it. They wasn't looking for it. But boy, I'm looking for it, ain't you? The Bible said, he that seeketh find it. I'm seeking the thing. I'm looking for it. I'm searching. The Bible said, contend for that faith. I'm looking for it. Every day of my life, I'm looking for it. That great mystery. All right, now, it said that these were the armies of heaven. Now, the armies of heaven coming back on white horses. This is what makes me to know that there had to be a change before the tribulation period. Because where did these people come from? Are you listening? I said, where did these people come from that's on the white horses? Oh, somebody said, that's the angels. Oh, you know better than that. Said, that's the angels of God coming back on the white horses with him. Well, why are they dressed in the righteousness of the saints? What is angels doing being dressed in the righteousness of the saints? When does the blood of Jesus Christ, when was it ever spilled to atone for angels? Angels never did do nothing wrong except them of Satan. They're never going to get back anyway. How do you know when the spirit does wrong, that's the end of it? Angels are spirit. When they done wrong, that was it. When your spirit does wrong, that's it. The spirit's called the root. You sin of the spirit, you're twice dead, plucked up by the root. All right, Revelation 19. Thank you, Bill. This is the armies of heaven. Where did these, this great army, these people, where did they come from? Somebody say, well, all right, maybe they wasn't angels, Brother Pike. It was them people that's been on to be with God. Here they come back on white horses. How could that be? How could that be? You say, well, it's them that went on to be with God. According to what I understand, the only ones that I know that went on to be with God are them that's covered by the blood. Because the grave as of yet has not given up the dead. Is that right? And that the grave has not, you say, but Brother Pike, you said at Calvary the graves opened up and the dead came out. It's true that God let some of them come out and walk around. That's true. Is that right? But according to the Bible, the grave doesn't turn loose of those dead people until Paul's mystery is fulfilled, which is the change. For the Bible said, the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then they which are alive and remain shall be changed and caught up to meet Christ. So shall they ever be with the Lord. Is that right? Let's just look at it and see how wrong they are that say that the church has to go through the tribulation. You say, why do you say that? Because these people here, let's just say that this is the coming of the Lord. Let's say now all of a sudden the dead in Christ is going to rise first. Is that right? Revelation 19, let's just use it that way and see if it'll work. The dead in Christ rise first. Somebody say, all right, here come the Lord. The dead in Christ rises. Is that right? Then we which are alive and remain is changed. Is that right? Somebody said, fits just perfectly. No, it doesn't. Because the Bible said the dead in Christ shall rise first. We who are alive and remain, all of us shall be caught up to meet him. These people are already coming down. The Bible said they are coming down from heaven. This is the armies that are already in heaven and coming down from heaven. There's no catching up to it. These are coming down to execute judgment upon the earth. Not catching up. But according to Paul's teaching of the chain, there is a catching up. So then, it must be that the ones that was caught up are now coming back. The ones that was caught up before the tribulation period are those that was the armies of heaven. We are already in heaven, but we're waiting for the change of the body. We are the armies of heaven. And at the change of the body, then we're caught up to be with the Lord, go into the mother's tent, that the veil is removed, to become his wife, officially become his wife. Somebody said, but Brother Pike, I'm already the bride of Christ. Well, if that's true, then there's no need to wait for the redemption of the body, is there? See, there's a misunderstanding. You say, what do you mean by that? Paul said, I've espoused you. That's what makes us the bride of Christ. How many of you know that when you're espoused to a man, you're already his wife? You say, where do you get that? You ever read about Joseph? He was a spouse to Mary, or she was to him. Is that right? The woman's a spouse. All right, now, the Bible said he sought to put away his wife secretly. I say, how do you get that? Because the angel said, fear not to take unto thee thy wife Mary. But there hadn't been no ceremonies performed. But in the sight of God, she was already his wife. Is that right? That would be good if some of the young folks would remember that. Already the wife. Now, if that is true, then potentially speaking, we are already the body of Jesus. God makes it that way by foreknowledge that we might believe and call those things that are not, that is what we look at, call that that is not as though it is. Somebody would say, but I'm confessing a lie if I do that. No, you're confessing a lie if you don't do that. Because the Bible teaches from the fall that everything that ever got in the mind of Satan is a lying vanity. It wasn't God's original act to start with. God has already completed you in Christ. You're already perfected, justified, glorified. And you must call everything a lying vanity that comes from your carnal mind, carnal sight, carnal understanding, call it as though it is not. Why? Because in the mind of God, the truth says it is not. And we are born of the truth and must confess the truth, and everything else is a lying vanity from the mind of Satan, which is the fall. If you've got an affliction, you should say it is not. Why? Because God never created Adam with afflictions. Where did the affliction come in? A lying vanity through the mind of deception, which is the beast mind that's got a hold of the people. The veil, the cloud that's between the sunshine and the earth, that is your earth. God the sunshine. The word of springtime, it brings forth the life, causes you death and sorrow through the wintertime of your disfigurations. Is that right? The distortions of your own daily walks. So then, I must believe that I am justified. I am glorified. I know I'm full of faults, but that don't make no difference. God never sees the one of them. Every one of them's covered by the blood. I'm full of faults. In my flesh, Paul said, dwelleth no good thing. Somebody said, well, if in your flesh dwell no good thing, you couldn't be a son of God. I am son of God because that no good flesh, it was no good thing, I bear it in the water. And today it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth. And the body now is bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. The life I live, I live by the Son of God. That is, I call those things that are not as though they are, and those things that are as though they are not. That is to say, I don't look at my corruptible flesh, my status of living, that's buried, gone. God never sees it no more. It's gone. It's put away in Calvary. He'll never catch another glimpse of it. Because the Bible says the Old Testament teaching sin was brought before God continually by the offering up of those beasts. But when the beast was put away, the atonement made, never again does God see sin. We are perfected forever. A church without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Somebody said God's coming back to do that. No, sir, God's coming back to get that. He's coming back to get that which the church is already in that kind of condition. Somebody said, well, that's what the ministry is for, the perfecting of the saints. That is true. It is true. Somebody said, well, they sent to save the lost. No preacher ever saved a lost man. You know better than that. The only way the lost are saved is by believing in Calvary. They are sent to perfect the church. You say, but Brother Pike, they got to win the church before they can ever perfect them. I don't see how you get that. I don't see how you get that. Because the Lord saved the church in his foreknowledge. Peter said, you're elect according to foreknowledge. You don't seek God. God sought you through his Son, saved you, secured you, and they accepted. All the ministers for is to come out and tell you. You say, tell me what? Tell you that you are the elect of God. Somebody said, but when they tell the folks that, all of them are not elect. I know it, but the elect believe it. What saves them is the fact they believed it. Well, they couldn't do nothing but believe it because it was elect to start with. The believing was just proof of their election, that's all. How else could you do anything else? If you talk to a peach and you say, you're a peach, if it could talk, it'd say, well, sure, I'm a peach. Couldn't believe nothing else, could it? So then, we are saved by faith. That means that faith is no more than a power of recognition of predestination. Faith cometh by the hearing of the word. I tell you that you're the children of God in Christ. Something on the inside leaps up and say, hallelujah, that's true. I know it because I feel it. Somebody else sits there all drab and tore down saying, I don't believe that. I don't see nothing there. I don't see how it gets there. What nothing there? Nothing relative. Nothing made contact. As I preached a sermon on relativity the other night, it didn't make contact because it wasn't there. Is that right? So then, you say, what are you saying, Brother Pike? I'm trying to tell you something if you listen. The Lord has secured the saints. The ministry is set there to perfect their faith, not their righteousness. You can't perfect people. God does that. They're already justified, already glorified, already without spot. But it's the preacher's duty to tell the people about it. And if the people believe it, then their faith is accounted unto them for righteousness. For the Bible said, blessed is the man whose sins are forgiven, whose iniquities are covered. God imputed faith unto Abraham for righteousness. Is that right? So to believe is to accept God's foreknowledge. To accept God's foreknowledge unto election is to accept the atonement of his Son. To accept his atonement is to be righteous in the sight of God. Is that right? So Paul said, we wish this even the perfecting of your faith, part to part. Learn a little, learn a little, learn a little. After a while, you develop the mind of the Lord and you believe it, that's it. Now, let me say just a little more and I'm going to try to close. There's a lot of things I'd like to say, but just a few more things here if you'll let me. So, Revelation 19, the coming of the Lord, the marriage supper. What is this great army? It is the saints of the Lord. Well, what are they going to do? Somebody said, well, it's the first resurrection. The dead in Christ is coming up. And then we are changed and we're caught up to meet the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord? That couldn't be Revelation 19. Because it says here that these are the saints of God. They've got on their righteousness, which is Christ's righteousness by faith in the Lord. And being the body, which is the wedding garment, the Lord Jesus, his own righteousness. We made the righteousness of God in Christ. These being the membership of his body, which is his bride. These are coming to a supper. Paul's change doesn't speak of a supper. These have already went through a change. These are returning to a supper. These that are coming up out of the grave is not going away anywhere. These are the people that's coming up out of the grave that is going into the millennium. A lot of people feel like there won't be nobody out there in the millennium but Jews, but that's wrong. The nations is going to be in the millennium. God ain't going to destroy all the nations. The Bible said that he'll rule the nations with a rod of iron. If he destroys the nations, how is he going to rule them? Somebody said, well, that means he's going to rule the saints of God. Now, you know God ain't going to do the saints that way. Can't you picture the Lord Jesus taking a rod, holding it over my head and saying, you're going to serve me, you're going to serve me, you're going to serve me. Put a rod over your wife's head and say, I'm going to rule you with a rod of iron. Now, you know he isn't going to do that. He's talking about the nations. He's going to rule, the saints of God are going to rule through the Jewish nation, making them the head of the nation, going to rule all other nations with a rod of iron. And the Bible said every one of them that won't pay tribute to the saints and come up to Jerusalem and pay honor to Christ Jesus, who will be sitting on the throne of David, that they won't have any rain on their crops. They won't be able to eat. That proves that the millennium is a world just like this world you're living in. It's the same world. The tribulation, just a few years of bad government. Blow up this side of the ocean, run the government back to the other side of the ocean. That's why they're moving the gold over there. Money's government. Blow it up, get rid of it, and start again over there. It's done made its cycle. Start all over again. Then what is heaven? Heaven does not appear as far as the people on the earth. Now, we done seen it. We done been up. Then we're coming back from heaven with Jesus. Because we're here with God in heaven. Is that right? But we're coming back before the millennium. Immediately after the tribulation. Binding the false Christ, the false prophet. Binding Satan, putting him in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Throwing Antichrist and the false prophet into the fire. But remember, death hasn't been conquered yet. Now, are you listening? Though it's the first resurrection, we've already been caught up before the tribulation. Here we're coming back with the Lord on white horses. And this is the first resurrection and then the millennium. Heaven is after the 1,000 years millennium. When John said, I saw the Ancient of Days, from whom the whole earth fled away. There was no place found for the sea. There was no place found for the mountains. There was nothing that could stand in his presence. No, nothing. Now look at the difference. Jesus is sitting on the throne in the millennium for 1,000 years. While the mountains remain, the trees remain, the people remain. But as soon as the Ancient of Days, which is the Heavenly Father, the Eternal Spirit appears, nothing can stand before it. Nothing. He is so exceedingly bright and brilliant that the very earth passes away. Not only that, but the Bible said the very heaven passes away. That is the natural heavens over here. They pass away. Now I believe, this is what I believe about it. I believe that what it means when it says that they pass away is that the mountains immediately become transparent in this way. That the Bible said the entire city will be transparent like glass. That there will be a jewel city, that everything will be transparent in the sense of its celestial appearance. Like glass, the Bible said. Now, if that's true, if it is so polished and so perfect, till it's just like looking through a glass, so perfect, then to me the passing away is the natural veil dissolving at the brightness of his coming, and the spiritual, which is the celestial part that had already been made in the inner veil, comes into view as the veil passes away. If that is true, then that is heaven. For John said, I saw New Jerusalem descending out of heaven. There is the heaven. The other is the earth coming down to set upon the new earth, not the millennium. The millennium is not the new earth. The millennium is the restored earth. The millennium is the Sabbath, the seventh day of his rest. But the celestial is the circumcision of the taking away of the veil, which is on the eighth day after the seventh or the Sabbath. Taking away the veil, bringing out the celestial. Is that right? That is called the Mara after the Sabbath. All right, now, if this is true, then Revelation 19, the coming of the Lord, is when the Lord comes back to execute judgment on the Antichrist, not to catch away the saints, which will be before the tribulation period. The dead in Christ, now let's take just a few minutes on this and we'll close. The dead in Christ rising first, those that are in the ground, dead in Christ, rising first, we which are alive and remain, then with them shall be caught up. All right, now, why is it that the dead in Christ come out before our catching up? Paul said the last trump, the dead in Christ rise and we be changed. And why is it that the dead come up at that time? Because in this very age that we're living in, there has got to be a message of the revealing or the finishing of the mysteries of God that Paul spoke of, where we shall not die but be changed. And in the finishing of the mysteries at the last trump, which was Paul's mystery of the change, at that death is conquered for the saints of God. Death can no longer hold the saints of God. When we realize, we that are living, realize that we pass from death into life, that death hath no power over us, and we understand why it hath no power and how it hath no power, then faith conquers death. Once we believe that, understand that, accept that, then death can't hold your dead father or sister or brother or son or daughter or anybody else anymore that is righteous in the grave. You understand what I'm saying? That's why death turns them loose, is because you are its master. And when you master it, it can't hold your people anymore. Death has to turn loose because you mastered it. In other words, you proved that it was wrong. It had no more power. You brought to pass Calvary. It was all done at Calvary. But you had to bring it to pass. When you brought to pass the sons of God finishing the work, then death says, oh my, I'm exposed. That's it. I got to go. You understand what I'm saying? Now, but that is only for the righteous. The conquering of death is already for us. We've done it. But when death is finally conquered, it's after the millennium, for the graves will still be here in the millennium. If your daddy, your mother, your daughter, your son, your loved one, if they are not a Christian, they will not get up at the change. They will remain in the grave, and the grave will still be out there after this bad period of government. They'll still be out there in the ground in the millennium. That's why it has to pass away and God puts a new one. He restores. You follow me? But after the millennium, the Bible said that the sea gives up the dead sailors, or the dead that's in it. Then the graves give up their dead. That's the wicked dead coming forth. That's called the second death. The second death is the death of the soul. The first is asleep. The second is the death of the soul. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. That's the second resurrection, where it's coming up over there after the millennium. The first is Revelation 19 before. After the millennium is the second, which is the wicked dead. Is that right? Now, people got a lot of theories about that that I sure don't agree with them on. Me and Brother Branham, I'm afraid, would have some differences on that part. I mean, I wouldn't say that we're just trying to see a light. We just differ on that part. And some of the others that's got some views on it, we differ on, because I don't believe what they believe about that. Now, we believe the same thing about the Bible, but the ones that's coming up over there in that millennium, or after the millennium, them that's coming up, some of them talk about certain men that are fine men that's going to be saved. I don't believe that. And they talk about some not having the Spirit going to be saved, them kind of things. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. The Bible said if you have not His Spirit, you are none of His, and that's Him. That's the way I believe it. All right, now, notice then, death is conquered. That's the enemy, death. It's cast into the fire. Death and hell then is cast into the lake of fire. That proves death. That proves hell's not eternal because it gives up its dead and hell is cast into the fire. Now, but the thing is, we, God shortened the days for the elect's sake. We have already conquered death. Are you listening now? Are you following me? We have already conquered death. Now, how did we do it? Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. That was Calvary. The body of sin was killed. That was the end of Adam's transgression. The law could no more hold us. Sin had no more strength. We was free from death. All right, now being free from death, we are alive forevermore. Is that right? Not alive until the coming of the Lord. Not alive till after the millennium. Not alive until the judgment. But we are alive forever and eternally ever. We are alive. We are never going to die anymore. It's over for us. We've ended it. We've made the crossing. We passed into heaven. We are alive from now on. We pass from death into life. Death hath no more dominion over us, Paul said. Now, so then we are happy people. You say, Brother Pike, if I could just believe that, I'd be happy. Well, if you don't believe that, you better get born again. Because if you don't believe that, you can't possibly be happy because you're not a saint of God. You couldn't enjoy it because you're not in it. But if you can do it, you're all right. All right, so then we see that the thing that caused the problem was the beast mind that got the creature in the garden, and we're waiting for the redemption of the creature, waiting for the redemption of the woman, waiting for the redemption of the body. The woman, the body, is the one that's in the transgression, not the life which is on the inside. We are waiting for the redemption of the body. Is that right? But in the sight of God, it's already redeemed. He did that at Calvary by foreknowledge, election, that we might be able to translate the body as Enoch did by believing in the finished works. Jesus said it's finished. Believing in the foreknowledge, we are the ones that must change the body by faith, just like Enoch did. The only way we can do that is that if we can get the mind of Christ, because the thing that Adam lost was the mind of Christ. And let me say this in closing. Adam was exposed to the mind of Christ. It kept him alive. As soon as the veil or the shadow of that beast, human reasoning and intelligence, come upon Adam or got a hold of Adam, it was a mind of lying vanities and deceptions and strong delusions. Adam put his faith in the strong delusions and it pulled him away. And he's been in the bondage of death. But since Jesus came, God, the life, in the mind of Christ, we know that we don't believe in the strong delusions. Therefore, we do not listen to our own understanding or lean to our own reasoning, but trust in the promises and the word with all of our heart. Faith in the heart. The ones that don't love the truth, God said he'll let them keep on with them strong delusions. Believe a lie and be damned. Is that right? So then it's the mind of strong delusions. But the mind of Christ, the spirit of truth. I believe it. Don't you? I believe it. I believe it. I say the devil's a lie. I'm not dead. I'm alive. I say the devil's a lie. I'm not sick. I'm well. The devil's alive. God's given me the kingdom because he said so. Everything the devil said, he's a lie. He's a lie. I'm not on this earth. I'm in heaven. Satan's a liar. All of his mind is strong delusions. His mind says I'm a sinner. His mind says I'm going to die. It's appointed to me to die. His mind tells me that I'm in bondage. His mind tells me that I'm in this world and there's no way to get out of it. Is that right? But the Bible tells me that it's all over. I done got out of it. Praise God. You love the Lord. I wish we had time to elaborate on this, but we're not going to try to take any more time. Let's everybody stand together.
Folks, this is a great day. This is a day when you're receiving your inheritance. That's right. You say, what do you mean? I mean, the saints are supposed to rise and take the kingdom. The devil's had it long enough. How can you do it? By faith. By faith. God's kingdom is not of this world. It's a spiritual kingdom. You faith. You believe it. You believe it. Is that right? The law and the prophets weren't until John. Since that time, the kingdom rise up and take it. Praise God. How many of you ever took the kingdom? I rose up and took it. It's within me. I took it because it belonged to me. Praise God. Now, you say, well, what are you waiting for? We've been waiting for the purchased possession. The body was what he purchased at Calvary. That's God's real possession. He's coming after it. But he's waiting for us to get the spots and blemishes off. It's already got off in his mind as far as being any sin or accusation against us. But the only thing is, we got a job of washing it. We need to clean it up as far as we're concerned. That's what the minister's for. You love the Lord? If I tell you you're perfect, can you believe it? If I tell you without spot, wrinkle, or blemish, can you believe it? Can you believe you're justified, glorified, sanctified? Can you believe you passed from death unto life? Can you believe you're up in heaven? Then you must believe you've been raptured. Praise God. Somebody said, but I'm waiting for the rapture. Well, it's here. Jesus and I am the rapture. If he's the resurrection, you can believe he's the rapture. I'd hate to think he was the resurrection, not the rapture, wouldn't you? I'm complete in him. Whatever he is, that's what I am. And whatever I am, that's what he is. In other words, whatever I need, that's what he is. If I need to be raptured, he's the rapture. If I need to be resurrected, then he's the resurrection. If I need healing, he's the healing. God sent his word and healed him. Is that right? Jesus is the word. The word healed him. Is that right? By faith in it. All right. The word saved him. By faith in it. The word resurrected him. You say, how's that? Pass from death unto life. Hear my word, you pass from death unto life. Is that right? So then everything I need is the word. So then I'm made flesh of the flesh and bone of the bone of the word. Is that right? And the word flesh will never pass away, though heaven and earth might pass. So then we are the word. That means that we are complete in him, the Bible said, that is in the word. Is that right? Yes. So then everything I need, that's what I am. Everything I ever wanted, that's what I got. Everything I was ever planning to do, that's what I done. Isn't that wonderful? Somebody said, I think you're crazy. No. Paul said, I'm not beside myself, lest it be for the Lord. I really believe that. Let's sing a little chorus together. As I walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to that home up above. Spreading care everywhere to the sad and the low. Fill my way every day with love. Can you sing it? Oh, fill my way every day with God's love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, oh, let me go all the while